studying about why. W-H-Y, why? That's a real, that is a an interrogative. It's a question, why? And we don't understand why all the things happen to us in this world. But in the last message, Romans 8, 1 to about 25 and a little bit more, we looked how the Spirit of God is in us, and the Spirit of God in us leads us, but we still have the flesh and we still have the soul. Now, the soul is your mind, and your spirit and your soul are very closely related. The flesh is just almost in total opposition to everything. Of course, when you're born into this world, before you're born again, before you come to the point, the time that you say, Lord, forgive me because I'm a sinner, and save my soul, and help me to live a life that you want me to live, and repenting of our sins, we're in total control of the spirit of that of rebellion, and the soul that is the mind of the flesh also. And then when we are born again, we begin to process, we have a new spirit in us, and we begin the process of renewing our mind and controlling our flesh, so to speak. And that's what this is all about. And then it tells us how great this is. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray like we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I remember one time, I tell you, we go through bad things sometimes in life. Why? I was on the way to church, and my little girl was being very abused, and it didn't seem like I could do anything to just stop it. I couldn't stop it. And I was asking God, why? Why are you allowing this to happen? And I was crying all the way to church, and then I got up and preached, and it seemed like God lifted a burden, but the question, why, was still there. And he who searches the hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Well, all our prayers are always answered. Sometimes no, sometimes yes, and sometimes wait or maybe. And we know that God causes all things to work to good, or to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the elect, according to his purpose. Some way, all the bad things that happen to us turn out to be for the good in the long run. We don't understand that. We won't understand it sometimes for 20 or 30 years. Many times, many years, I remember Marilyn told me, she said, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and just before I met you, I sat in my bed praying one night saying, what was the prayer, Marilyn? I'm on my last leg.
I needed somebody, and I was just about at the end of my rope, and you walked into my life. I wanted to know more about the Bible.
You wanted to know more about the Bible? You wanted somebody that liked the country, the woods, and things like that? And she liked Indians a lot.
Yep.
So, boy, I tell you what, the Lord dumped a lot onto you, and every day you have to have patience to put up with me. And I thank her every day for that. See, we know that God causes all things to work for the good to those who love God, to those who are the elect according to His purpose. The purpose, the boule, the thelematos in Greek. Thelematos means spiritual activating force, spiritual activating force. A God's eternal purpose, His spiritual effect, activating force. We look here on the map behind me and from eternity to eternity, and we only live a little bit of time. And I looked at, we were looking at television a little bit the other day, or yesterday actually, and I looked at people that lived in the 1800s, 1700s, 1600s, and I thought about all of their lives and all the people, all they loved and all the hates and all the misery and all the happiness they had, and their life was like a vapor. It's gone. It's been gone for hundreds of years. And we're in that little syndrome now, in our place in space and time. And God in space and time sent forth his Son. In Galatians 4 and 4 it says, "For when the fullness of time had God come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem us that are under the law." And that's what it's all talking about. The whole story of God is God loved the world that he created. He created to share his glory and his beauty and his love with all creation. And you go up there, Marilyn, we go on the mountain. She says, "How can anybody be an atheist and look at this?" And I'm sure, Joni, they're that way also. How can anybody be an atheist and see a tree or a blade of grass or a little ant walking out on the ground or whatever? Every little creature is a creation of God. The octopi. You know what an octopi is? You know what that is, Violet? An octopi? You know what an octopus is? An octopus?
Yes.
Okay, that's an octopi. An octopus is a very intelligent sea creature. And they found out that they have been studying these animals and they're extremely smart. And they remember and they can get out of trouble. They can camouflage themselves. They can do all kinds of stuff. And this isn't by accident. God made them exactly like they are. This man, I watched this man on television get acquainted with this female octopus, and he watched her, and he watched she almost killed a lot of time, and she would do all kinds of stuff to camouflage herself, and she'd always come to him and put her tentacles on him and just kind of hug him. And she finally mated with another octopi, and she was pregnant. And she just literally gave her life for her progeny. For her babies. She just starved herself to death. And then a shark came and he watched the shark eat her. But she gave herself that her children could live. Everything. When I pray as an Indian, and people used to get mad at me sometimes and aggravated with me when I went to church. I'm an Indian and I believe in God. Okay, but I know that everything out there that God created is very important. It has a soul, it has a mind, it has spirit, it has life. And they think. Animals aren't stupid. They think. They have souls. They love. Sometimes they hate. And I've seen animals between species love each other and try to protect each other. I've seen that in my life. And so many people don't respect God's creation. But when I pray, when I'm going to sit down and eat, I say, "Father, thank you for the animals that gave their lives for us and the fruit from your earth." We need to remember that. When I go out deer hunting, what do I say, Marilyn? Will God give us an animal? Will an animal give himself to us today? Because this is a gift. This isn't something to conquer. This is a gift. It's a gift. And I'd pray like that in church, and they said, "You pray like an Indian." I am an Indian, but I know more about animals than you do. I've trained fish and birds and horses and all kinds of things. Having a marriage, Marilyn, yeah. Since you've known me in the last 20-something years, I've trained all kinds of stuff.
Even a little feral.
Even a bear, birds and fish. You go out here, and you've been out there, Violet. You see me feed the fish, they come up. You know, before they were all caught and before everything was messed up down there, I could go down there. I preached on that creek and the fish would come and watch me preach, wouldn't they, Marilyn?
They did.
They just line up out there and they would watch me.
They did. That's all.
And the squirrels and the lizards would come up there and sit and watch me as I would preach. I was preaching to God's creation. We see that. All of the things around us are a creation of God. And it all prepares us one day, hopefully, to be in all the glory of God, unlimited glory, with no sin, with no memory of horror in our lives before. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among all of creation and his brethren. And whom he predestined, these also he called. And whom he called, these also he justified. And whom he justified, these also he glorified. When then shall we say of these things, if God be for us, who is against us? When I look back on the things that went on with my daughter's life, and I look back then at all the things that were laid against me, there's no way in the world I should have come out of it alive, and nor she. And then I look back years later and I said they never had a chance. They tried to do a false arrest on me and shoot me. I got locked in the bank safe to protect me from the law. My lawyer threw potato chips and bottles of water in there and shut the door. He said, you can hear everything that's going on out there. They chased me. We're going to kill me. And he shut the door and locked it. My daughter was there and I was there in the safe, locked. He said, I'm not going to give him the combination. And the safe was just almost as big as from here to the kitchen and there beyond the kitchen. It's big. Big safe. It's a bank safe. And I came out of it alive. The things that we go through in life because of bad people, yet nothing can conquer us. If God wants you to live today, there's no way. You are absolutely invincible. Nothing can kill you. Bullets, bombs, nothing. You want me to go in there and get a box where a gun blew up in my hand? It's nothing but little pieces. Little pieces. It was like a grenade blowing up in my hand, and yet I am here. I lost almost the end of that finger. But I lived. You just go pull a grenade pin and let it go off in your hand and see how long you stay in this world. But that happened to me. I can prove that. Unbelievable things that we can go through. If God is for us, who can be and what can be against us? Here a while back when my friend was up here and we went through this propane poisoning, 40 hours of propane exposure, 20 hours of heavy propane for me. And why this house didn't blow up? We had, supposedly, according to the propane company, we had 75 gallons of propane loose in this house. Now you tell me why it didn't blow up. And I was in that room in there being exposed, just pumping propane into my bedroom while I'm sleeping the night for 20 hours, 2 days, and I'm live. That's not possible, really, but it happened. My friend said, you know what? He said, I heard about the providence of God. I heard about God protecting angels. I heard about guardian angels all this time. But this is the first time I ever experienced it. He said, we should all be dead. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? What you see out there in the world is all going to be yours one of these days. God's going to share it with you. The American Indian people did not believe in private ownership of property. They said it was blasphemy. The Dawes Act came along. My great grandfather tried to stop it, and he was killed in December the 19th of 1891. He was going to circumvent that Dawes Act. And they were going to reallot their own land and put it in private ownership where the United States government didn't get their fingers in it. And they had his own son kill him. Joe Paul shot him with a 12-gauge shotgun right in the head and then shot him again. He was not a hero when he was killed, but later on when they saw what he was trying to do, they said, this is the greatest man in the history of the Chickasaw Nation. He was a chief. His brother was a chief. My family were chiefs from the Chickasaw Nation for 400 years. They were, many of them, great, great men. Well, now they know that Oklahoma would still be Indian territory. But because he was dead, things happened. Abraham Lincoln, Ulysses S. Grant, all of them destroyed the nations within the nation, the American people. And then it says here, he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, for he is also freely give us all things. The American Indian people said that we cannot own land, it's God's land. Sam Paul said, if you don't split up the land, and you can do whatever you want to with it, but it's got to be in private ownership or they're going to take it away from us. And we will have no say-so about anything. They believed that no man could own a piece of dirt. The Indians used to look at this rock. And they pick up a rock and they said, you white people, you think you're going to live longer than that rock? And you think you can own this land? It's God's land. It's not ours. It's God's land. In the Lakota language, the father was Wakantanka. The spirit of God was called Skantaku Skanskan. The son was called Takashila. They knew who God was. And they knew who owned all this land. They tried to live that way. One of these days, it's going to be that way. God owns everything. We don't. Who should bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies, and he's the one who says what's right and what's wrong. You know, we go down the road in a 70-mile speed limit, and it's 55-mile-an-hour speed limit or 25-mile-an-hour speed limit or whatever. That's the law, isn't it? We know that today, but just look at all of this. It's under God's law. He who is the one who condemns, Jesus Christ, is he who died, yes, rather who was raised. He who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Jesus intercedes for us. When we are saved, when we ask God, forgive me of my sins, and please help me do what is right in my life, renew my spirit, renew my mind, and help me study your word that I might be living a life glorifying to you. It says that Jesus Christ, when we sin, intercedes for us. He's our lawyer. Job, when all the bad things were happening to him, he said, why? With this whole message about why. Job said, why are they doing this to me? Why are my best friends turning to me? Why? He said, I need a lawyer between me and God. That's what he said. No, God turned everything around, didn't he? He had a bad wife, so God gave him a new one. He had children, and God gave him more. And he, in his last days, he had more than he ever had. But one thing Job knew, he said, it's all God's. He gives and he takes away. He said, I know one thing, when my body dies in the grave and the worms eat me up, that one day I'm going to stand on my feet and I'll look at God with my own eyes in the homostasia, in the resurrection. Who shall separate us from God, the love of Christ? Shall tribulation and distress or persecution, famine, nakedness or peril or sword? These things draw us closer to God. They don't drive us away. Had one woman come up to me, and she was a teacher there, Valley Baptist Church. I was there for 20 years as a volunteer pastor. She came up to me, and she knew what was going on in my life with my daughter and everything else. She said, if I were you, I'd sit down and say, God, when you straighten it out, call me back, and I'll come back and serve you. She said, I'm mad. And I said, well, I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what. I don't have anything else. When everything is gone, you only have God. He makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. Paul died. His head was chopped off. Peter died. He was crucified upside down. Stephen died. He was stoned to death outside of Stephen's gate or the sheep gate. You go over there. I got a book over there called The Churches of the Valleys of the Piedmont by Samuel Moreland. It names the people back in the 1500s and early 1600s that were murdered by the Catholic Church. Murdered. The women were even eaten. Cannibals. All day long we die and put to death. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. But all these things we overcome, overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, and that's spiritual forces, by the way, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then he says over here, he said, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. That's what God gives to us. And we say what? Amen? Is that true?
Amen.
Amen. Let me tell you a little story about amen, okay? Marilyn wanted me to do this, so I'm going to tell it. There was a guy that was in a little old Baptist church way back yonder in the south. And he didn't go to church. He stayed home and he dressed up because he worked all week long farming. His name was Mr. Cornstalk. And his wife was a big woman, and she really wielded the power in that house. And she said, Mr. Cornstalk, you're going to get up and you're going to go to church tonight. He said, well, I'm tired. She said, you're going to do it. Got that rolling pin. She said, I'm making biscuits right now, but when I get through rolling these biscuits out, this is going to be over your head if you don't get yourself ready. Put your clean overalls on and your white shirt, and let's go. We're going to go to church today. Well, Mr. Cornstalk didn't go to church very often. But he went there, and everybody was glad to see him and everything else. And when they got ready to go into church service, he wasn't really familiar with what's going on here too much. But they asked him to pray. And so he started praying. He prayed for everybody in that church, every person. Every person, for their dogs, for their horses out working in the fields, that they would be healthy, for their children, for everybody. He just kept on praying and praying and praying, and everybody was just wore out from this long prayer. And one deacon said, amen, you know, like that. And he turned around to that one man. He said, thank you, brother. Amen. He said, I couldn't think of what that word was. I couldn't think of that word all this time. I couldn't think of that word. So, amen. Now let's have a prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all of the glory that you've shown to us in our lives and in your creation. And Father, help us to walk worthy of our calling. And thank you for all the blessings you give us. And help this message to glorify you throughout the world. In Jesus' name.